Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Here we go. It's the Cop-Hype Podcast.
What is happening, everyone? Welcome back to another Cop-Hype Podcast and another match preview to have a little discussion about tomorrow's tiny game against Man United at Old Trafford. I'm Mick Brown, and joined as usual by Jay Pearson. But we've also got another special guest on today. He's making his first Cop-Hype podcast debut. It's Goals Liverpool's correspondent Neil Jones. How you doing, Neil?
Yeah, not too bad, guys. How are you?
Yeah, all good. Cool, to see Jay's loving the 20-year anniversary with that kit on, so he's paying a nice little homage to that.
Got to, mate, on you. Got to. We were just saying off air, weren't we? Just how quick that time's gone. You know, I can remember the day like it was yesterday. 16 years of age, having my first pint, and then spilling my seventh by the time we'd won it. So yeah, boss memories of the day, mate. And just think that treble season is still many people's favourite season. I know Carragher says it's his favourite season and stuff like that, but at the time it was unprecedented, wasn't it, in terms of what the club did, and it should fondly be remembered for that. And you know, no negativity surrounding it, and it was just a boss season.
Yeah, it'll probably never come back, right? Because of obviously the way that the Europa League's viewed now, and the League Cup's viewed, and even the FA Cup, you know, it doesn't have that same, sadly, it doesn't have that same mystique, does it? So it'll probably never be repeated. Well, yeah, I agree. It was, you know, it's not often you play every single possible game you could possibly play in a season, and you end up with all the trophies at the end of it.
Yeah.
It was boss. I mean, I was an 11-year-old kid, so it wasn't as big for me then, because I was only a little whippersnapper. But boss day nonetheless with that own final. But Neil, what we do on these shows now, before we get stuff into the game, we like to do a little 2-minute bottle question just to get the juices flowing a little bit. And today's is from Paul Dennison on Twitter, and his question is: what's your favourite ever Liverpool goal against Man United at Old Trafford? So I'll come to you first on that one.
It's an obvious one, really. It's Fowler in the near post against Schmeichel in October 95, the Cantona, the 2-2 game. So Fowler, wasn't it? It was just, I mean, he was my favourite. He was my favourite player. He was the one I wanted to be. I wanted to play like. I would have been just turned 11 when that's gone in. The other thing is that, like, I've spoken to him about it, and he always says, you know, he says, couple of minutes before, he got in the same position, exactly the same place. Tried to cut it, Ian Rush missed the sitter from 3 yards. So obviously the next time he does it, Schmeichel makes a little move to his left, and Fowler just ran. I mean, the commentary, I think, says he rammed it in, which is, you know, Martin Tyler gets a lot of stick now, but he nailed that one. He rammed it in that near post. It was just so impudent. And to be honest, he could have the other goal in that game as well if he wanted to, because that was just as impressive. But that Fowler one for me was just, that was when he was on his A game for a couple of, well, 3 seasons probably, and that was the best example I could think of him at his A game.
Yeah, Jay, I mean, we had a little chat earlier, didn't we, about this, but there is quite a few. What would you go with?
Well, I mean, I'm like Neil, you know, my favourite player of all time is Robbie Fowler, so that one's hard to beat. And but what I love about that goal as well, and that game in general, was the Cantona comeback, wasn't it? You know, it was the return of Cantona. We sort of spoiled the party a little bit that day, so it was doubly pleasing for that as well. But no, I think if you know, to go differently, there was two that I just absolutely loved. There was Patrick Berger's rocket from a free kick in the that green kit that we had, and I think it was 99-2000 season. That one for me was pretty special. But probably my favourite one, because I just think it was the technique and the setup for it all was incredible, was Danny Murphy. But his second goal at Old Trafford, when Gerrard had played that unbelievable pass, and the pass was that good, it sort of told Murphy how to finish it, and he just lobbed Barthez. And I just thought that was just absolutely just the perfect goal, because no one on the planet could see that pass apart from Steven Gerrard at the time. And he just bends it in into the box. No one sees it, and Murphy runs in and dinks it over Barthez. So for me, that's probably my favourite out of the Old Trafford goals.
Man's the same as in the 4-1 win. Nah, I'm only messing. Man's man's probably, yeah, I mean, there's loads, isn't he? But yeah, I think maybe the Torres one. I mean, that's quite recent in terms of goals, yeah. But putting Vidic into the mud and then just going and slotting it in the way that he did in that fashion. He was just a don at one-on-ones, weren't he? But yeah, that was probably mine. But yeah, we'll leave that there and we'll get straight stuck into the footy. And obviously, yeah, Klopp's press conference was today. But the news coming, well, the biggest news probably coming from that is about Virgil van Dijk. Obviously, he done an interview today with the LFC website about he's confirmed that he's not going to the Euros. What are your initial thoughts on that, Neil? I think we all were worried he was going to go, weren't we? Especially he's going to be 30 in July. He needs to look after his body. Do you think that's the right choice? It's obviously, from a Liverpool point of view, it is, isn't it? Selfishly.
Yeah no, it, from everyone, well, not from everyone, not from the Netherlands, but from Virgil's and from Liverpool's, it is the right choice. You know, I think it's a very smart move and it shows a level of maturity about Van Dijk as a person and as a player that, you know, you think back of someone like Harry Kane, and I don't want to cast aspersions about Harry Kane, but you think about how many times you've sort of, Spurs have had a cup final or a big game on the horizon and Harry Kane's gone off with an ankle injury or a foot injury and there's all this talk, is he going to be fit? And you sort of know, yeah, he's going to have a go. I mean, the Champions League final is a case in point against Liverpool, isn't it? You know, Harry Kane's going to have a go. He's not really going to be fit and it's not going to pay off. No question of that with Van Dijk. There probably would have been a lot of people leaning on him and saying, listen, you know, do you fancy just coming? You don't even have to play every game. Even just having you around the group would be nice. You know, maybe just having your leadership and training and that kind of thing. He is the captain. But I think it's good that he's done it early enough to sort of say, look, that's not happening. I'm going to be doing this. I'm disappointed. But also, it shows the maturity that he's banking. Actually, do you know what? There's a World Cup in 17 months. I'm going to be the captain of Holland. I want to be back to full fitness. I don't want to be coming back to this Euros, maybe getting a setback with a, never mind a knee injury, maybe a hamstring or a thigh or something, missing half the next season. And then, you know, then the question marks around the World Cup as well. So I think it's worked out as well as possible for him in his recovery. It seems like it's all been on track. You know, I got a bit of laugh at yesterday. I was on LFC TV and I sort of mentioned that I've had ACL injuries myself and I sort of started talking about comebacks as if mine's anyway comparable. But I do know there's a danger, and it's either, whether you're a professional or a nomarch like me, is the danger is not your knee. It's the rest of your body. It's your hip or your ankle or whatever you've done to it, you know, to compensate for that injury. So I think it's a wise move, and hopefully Liverpool feel the benefits of it, you know, come July, August, and September next year.
So well said, mate.
Yeah, and I mean, I was amazed that was, not amazed, but maybe like I was expecting maybe to go, and like you said, Neil, to have the chance to play for his country, and maybe not even in the early games, but maybe if they get towards the end and he's got an opportunity to play in like a semi-final or whatever. I mean, it's quite mature of him to make that choice and just kind of get himself ready for next year, which is what was music to everyone's ears, weren't it? But the other, obviously, big news as well from that is that Klopp kind of confirmed that Hendo wouldn't be a part of any of the Liverpool games for the rest of the year as well. I mean, I think at the time it was like they said between six and eight weeks, and it's, I don't know. I mean, I think he's out running now, isn't he, with the lads and stuff? But he's not really a part of training and stuff. That's a big blow, isn't it, for us, especially not having him available for these four games that we've got left.
Yeah, it is, but I don't think it's not. I don't feel like a blow because I didn't expect them to. You know what Jurgen Klopp's like. I mean, these four games, there are four games left, but there's only 10 days left of the season. So it's not really, you know, there's not really any time for him to come in and train and sort of prove himself that he's available. It might have been nice to have him, you know, to come on in the final game of the season or whatever, even just to get a bit of a round of applause from a few fans at Anfield would have been nice for him and nice for the fans. But yeah, I think a lot of people have sort of got their heads around it. You know, you haven't seen them, have you? With Van Dijk and Gomez in particular, there's been these sort of, you know, trickle-down updates about, oh, they're suddenly in the gym and there's thumbs up and then they're outside and then, you know, they're kicking a ball around. With Henderson, he hasn't been seen, has he? You know, he's been doing his recovery in the back room, if you like. But Klopp did say today in his press conference, and he said that, there is a chance that he'll be available for England, and obviously that brings with it its own problems. Maybe that was part of the diagnosis, really, was sort of, you know, look, you know, if you have this surgery now, you can get ready for the summer, or you sort of don't worry about rushing back for these Liverpool games. There's an extra, 3 weeks, is there, after,
yeah,
2.5 weeks after the season before England start playing in the Euro. So, you know, it's hard, isn't it? As Liverpool fans, people just, not really that bothered about England, not really that bothered about Holland. You know, it's all about the player for Liverpool. But again, Jordan Henderson, it would be nice, wouldn't it, for him to have a chance to play in that Euros. He's had you know, a tough time. He's it'd be nice for him to play and see how ungrateful England fans are when he doesn't win them the Euros straight away and take all the pelts on social media, I'm sure. But it's I think he'll want to be part of it, whether he will be or not. I think it's still a touch and go situation.
Yeah, I think especially with the squads have been extended, haven't they, from 23 to 26, so it might even be, that might be bad news, mightn't it, Jay, in terms of like to Trent as well, maybe sneaking in there.
It's a really good point, mate, isn't it? There's that age-old debate, isn't it, on Twitter at the minute with a lot of people where it's, you know, such and such a person come outside, and, you know, at the minute, the way my football team has played this season and having a rest, and I'm all for the players just, everyone stay at home. That's it, you know. Trent, don't even go outside, mate. You stay in the house. Don't even get on that plane. And if people don't think that he, or, you know, should be going, then that's absolutely fine, because that's like Neil said, I'm not too bothered about the Euros at all. As long as they all come back fit, I'm not bothered. And I get, you know, from an England perspective and a player, you want to play on the highest level, you want to play in these tournaments, and that's fair enough. But, you know, again, it's up in the air. We don't know. Trent would usually be a shoo-in, but he's not had the greatest of seasons, and he'll admit that himself. A lot of the other players will do that as well. So it'll be interesting to see the squad when it's announced. But it'd be one of the things that, you know, you're motivated when you put on an England shirt, aren't you? I'm sure all those footballers will be. But yeah, just pray that they come back fit and healthy and ready to go for next season.
And like Van Dijk with Henderson, he's an off-the-field influence as well in that England squad. So there might be that element of, you know, if you were going to, I don't want to say waste a spot, but he's someone that you maybe would consider, you know, sort of a ceremonial spot, if you like, that, you know what, if he comes and he's good around the group, then potentially there is that option. If he's going to be available maybe for the latter stages of the competition, yeah, we can wait for him. It's not like he's a sort of, you know, an everyday Premier League player that you were going to put on the squad. He's a key member of that dressing room.
It's true. They did it with Beckham, didn't they? Beckham was out of the squad for a long time, and then they brought him back in for that experience and that leadership quality. So you're absolutely spot on. Henderson isn't a questionable captain. I think he's answered those critics over the last 6 years. And Neil, you're absolutely spot on there.
Yeah, boys, but we'll move on slightly to, I mean, those two fellas couldn't be any more crucial to Liverpool, but someone who is also quite crucial to Liverpool at the moment is Ozan Kabak. And it's a bit mad, the fact that he's not been here long, and we are quite reliant upon him. But the news coming from that press conference today wasn't good news, and that Klopp just gave a no answer when asked if there's going to be any change from the Southampton game. And what do you think he's going to do then, Neil, in terms of tomorrow? Do you think he'll go with Reece Williams and Nat Phillips again?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, I think he will. Reece had a tough time at Old Trafford, didn't he, in the cup? Didn't really play his normal game. I'd say I think he looked a little bit like a 19-year-old centre back playing at Old Trafford, and, you know, trying to impress. And yeah, you have to allow for that occasionally. I don't think Phillips played. Did he? Phillips didn't play in that cup game. I think Fabinho played centre back, didn't he? Because he gave the free kick away for Bruno. So yeah, that will be a worry. But I think there's not really much option. I mean, Keita's out, Milner's out. I don't think he's going to... It'd be a gamble as much... It'd be almost as much a gamble as playing Reece Williams as you would to throw Oxlade-Chamberlain into the side, or even maybe not. Maybe Curtis-Jones would be one, but then you're sort of moving Wijnaldum and Thiago around, and you're sort of wondering, okay, you know, your midfield's less experienced or less in tune. So I think he's not really got much option. I think he'll have to play Reece and that. And, you know, look, I know that they're not... They are what they are. They are, you know, they are essentially a lower Premier League / upper Championship centre back in Phillips, and a player of decent potential in Williams, but not someone who's, you know, you want to be playing 15, 20 Premier League games a season. But give him a go. You know, I think he did okay at the weekend. I thought Phillips in particular towards the end of the game really defended his box well. Williams, you know, people complain about his lack of pace, but there's not really much you can do about that. He's 19, he's a big lad. He does use the ball well enough. He does head the ball well enough. So I think you've just got to trust him and say, look, hopefully Liverpool will play on the front foot enough that it's not the greatest sort of onus on you, but it's not going to be an easy game. Put it that way. It's not going to be, you know, when whoever plays for United, whether it's Pogba or Bruno or Rashford or whoever, Greenwood, it's going to be a tough game. And that would be the case, whether it was Kabak playing or with Reece Williams.
Yeah, and I mean, I've asked everyone this, Neil, about, Chris has just put a comment here about where is Ben Davies. I think we've been all asking that question of me this year. What's your thoughts on this thing about Ben Davies and the signing and the fact that he's not played yet?
Who are we talking about here? I saw him. He was on some cooking video yesterday. I saw that.
Good while. It's good. Yeah, that was Ready Steady Injured, that wasn't it?
Yeah, something like that. We can tell his family at least that he's safe and well. So that's good news. But it is a surprising one. I mean, I've spoken to a few people at Liverpool who felt that he was at one stage, and it would have been sort of around the time Kabak and Phillips came together, really, was sort of, you know, they said they felt he was not far away from getting a chance. But the thing for me is he's not been on the bench in a lot of games. And I don't know, you know, it's one thing to say, oh, yeah, you know, we don't want to throw two new centre-backs straight into a team. And I didn't expect him to do that when they both signed. I didn't think it was going to be Kabak and Davies. I thought it was going to be Kabak. But there's been a lot of games that Liverpool could easily, you'd think, would have used Ben Davies. And bear in mind, he is someone who's been playing football as well. You know, Reece Williams didn't play for what? I mean, I think his last game for Kidderminster was sort of March, and then he came back October time to Liverpool and, you know, thrown in. Davies had been playing pretty much every week for Preston up until January, so he was in some kind of rhythm. So it's a strange one. I can't get away from the idea that probably they just saw it as a cheap signing that they could turn a little profit over in the summer, maybe. They know there's an interest, you know, there's a market there with, you know, whether it's Celtic or whether it's, you know, an upper Championship club again or a lower Premier League club, Burnley potentially. I can't really get away from that idea, but I'm surprised. And I hope he gets a chance at some point for Liverpool, because it wouldn't be nice. I mean, you know, you think of someone like different sort of circumstances, but you think of someone like Stephen Caulker, who's remembered for sort of, you know, this like sort of what was all that about sort of signing, you know. And Stephen Caulker had a good career. Stephen Caulker was a Premier League player, and Ben Davies has had a good career. And I wouldn't like that to be the sort of this, like, remember when we signed Ben Davies and he didn't play a minute and then we just loaned him out to someone? You know, I think he deserves a little bit better than that. And hopefully there's some sort of opportunity for him, maybe the last game of the season, potentially, you know, if let's say it's done and dusted with the Champions League and Liverpool can't make it and they're stuck in fifth or sixth, wherever, maybe there might be an opportunity there. But I do hope he gets some kind of sort of look in at Liverpool, because, you know, he seems a nice lad, and he's had a very good career. I spoke to a lot of people who say nice things about him as well from non-league and lower leagues where he's been on loan. So, yeah, it would be good to see him. Absolutely, it'd just be good to see him.
Yeah, I think if it doesn't happen this season, I don't think it's going to, like you said, Neil, I don't think it's going to happen. It's just a bit of a baffling one, isn't it? Like, you don't expect, like, Liverpool to be involved in, like, making a bit of money on a player. Like, I suppose it does make good business sense, but I think when we sign a player, we want him to come in and actually have an impact on the field.
I think that's probably... Sorry, mate.
It's that number 28 shirt. It's cursed. Danny Ings had it before him.
Yeah, Bruno Cheru, I think, had that as well, didn't he, back in the day? I think you also have to factor in that there's a ruthless element to it in Liverpool. They're thinking, well, look, if this Kabak deal falls through at 4 o'clock on deadline day, we're up the creek, aren't we? And, you know, at least we've got someone through the door. You know, whether it's the person we want, at least it's someone who's through the door. You know, he's got a moderate, you know, pedigree that we think we can throw him in. And then obviously Kabak's come off. I think he probably tried to sign another one on that day in the guy from Marseille, Kaleta Carr. So I think he's a victim of circumstance. But again, you know, there'll be a lot of people who say, well, I don't feel too sorry for him. He's come down and been training Liverpool, and he's, you know, he's, he can always say he was a Liverpool player, whether it's for 3 months, 5 months, 6 months, whatever it may be.
Yeah,
that's a good point though, mate, isn't it? Because like everyone always says, don't they, whenever they play for Liverpool, and whenever they play like 1 minute or 100 games for them, at least they can say I've thrown on a Liverpool shirt in a competitive game. And I just think it is such a shame because, like Neil said, he does seem like a really sound fella, and you would like, I loved the idea of him partnering Nat Phillips. I loved that centre back English partnership. I was excited to see that. Do you know what I mean? I thought it could work, but obviously, there's something that we don't know. It's something we're not seeing every day in training. I don't think it's any question of his ability. I just think Neil's hit the nail on the head, though, in his case. Well, we need to get someone in. What if our main target doesn't come in? We need a backup. And I think if Cabot didn't come, we would see him. But like I said, if we'll come on to it now, won't we, about the chance of top four. But if I would like to see him. I really would, mate. But
yeah, and I mean, going a bit more into depth into the potential starting 11 tomorrow then, Neil, in terms of like up top, I think last game Bobby was on the bench, wasn't he? Do you expect Bobby to maybe come back in? I think it's a bit optimistic to expect all four to start, isn't it, in a game of this magnitude?
Yeah, it is. And Klopp sort of hinted at it today, didn't he? I think he was asked about his approach, and he said what it'll change is sort of the caution that we'll throw in the games in the balance towards the end of the game. I think he said we're not going to sort of, you know, doesn't mean we're going to try and win every game 14-0, you know, but if it's 0-0, we might go three at the back or whatever it may be, you know, put an extra forward on that we wouldn't normally. Which has been a criticism, hasn't it, at Old Trafford, really, I think, in recent years, that there's been games there that Liverpool really could have went for and won. I think back to the one in the year the City won the league by a point, and you think United had three injuries in the first half and then Rashford limping around on one leg, and it just felt like Liverpool were a little bit reserved and played for, you know, banked on the draw a little bit. And I hope we don't see that tomorrow night. I think Firmino will come back in. I do. I think he played quite well in the cup game. He set the first goal up, a lovely pass for Salah. And yeah, I think he'll come back in, and we'll keep Jota as the gamble off the bench, if you like. I wouldn't disagree with that, although Bobby's not been in great form at all. You know, he got an assist last week, but I can't get that back heel on the halfway line out of my head, to be honest, when Liverpool need him to keep the ball, and he done the most Bobby Firmino thing ever. But yeah, I would expect him to come in for Jota, leave Jota on the bench, and I'd expect the rest of the team to be as it was against Southampton.
Yeah, I think it's, I was thinking, oh, maybe he'll just throw the kitchen sink at them and then just go 4-2-3-1. But it is a bit of a mad one, especially when you haven't got at least Kabak, and you've got, like you said, you've got Nat Phillips and Reece Williams in there. We need Fabinho on midfield just to kind of shield them. That'll be key, won't it, tomorrow, I think. But on the game as a whole then, obviously the game on Tuesday was a bit mad at Man United and Leicester, wasn't it? They rested. And they made 10 changes, only Greenwood kept his place, and we were like, oh, fucking hell, they've changed 10 just to throw the game and gave City the title, and now Leicester have got extra 3 points on us. They're going to be at least a bit well-rested, aren't they? And getting all Bruno Fernandes and Cavani and Rashford coming back, and it's going to be full-strength United, isn't it, against us tomorrow for that game?
Yeah, it is. But you also have to factor in that they've got a Europa League final on the horizon. If the captain's touch and go for that. So you're looking at, you know, if that's Liverpool, you're thinking, oh, God, Lindelof, don't be getting injured then. You know, you're thinking if Maguire's a doubt, so you, does that play a part in the team selection, or does it play a part in the way Lindelof plays? You know, to be honest, if I'm Bruno Fernandes, I'm thinking, well, we're going to finish second. I know Liverpool's Liverpool. I want to play, obviously, but you know, I really, really want to be winning that Europa League. You know, I don't fancy picking up a little calf strain, that kind of thing. So I think look, United, there will be something in their mind about that. And I think you saw that really in the Leicester game. I watched the first hour of it, and you know, I know a lot of people saw the team selection was like, oh God, they're throwing the game. They didn't, you know, United. They just made normal and natural and understandable changes to the team, playing for like 3 games in 5 days or 4 in 8. But they just lacked a little bit of rhythm, didn't they? And they lacked a little bit of cohesion. And I think they'll probably be, I don't think it'll be 10 changes straight back to the team it was on Sunday. I think it'll be a little bit of a mix. You know, I wouldn't be surprised if, for example, Tellez plays at left back, or Brandon Williams plays at left back. One of those. Maybe even De Gea plays in goal, just to sort of, you know, to mix that up. But I think what you did see from United, and I wouldn't say they've got an incredible squad, but they've got a pretty the gap's not that big between the sort of the squad. There's no sort of, you know, there's no 10 out of 10 being replaced by a 2 out of 10. It's sort of, you know, an 8 and a 6, if you like, or a 7 and a 5. So they're a little bit better balanced and a bit able to do that. Whereas if you think of Liverpool, if Liverpool playing Tuesday and Thursday, what would Liverpool's Tuesday team have looked like? You know, it would have been one of those where people would have been saying, hang on, like, what's going on here? So I think United are one of the few teams, I think, that can do that a little bit.
Yeah, it's a really good point you make there, mate. And one of the things I want to ask you now, Neil, is obviously, you know, the work that you do is well known, and obviously everyone knows that you're a big Liverpool fan. From your perspective, mate, how are you feeling after the game last night and going into the game against Manchester United? Do you feel that top four has gone a little bit further, or do you think we can still do it, but obviously we've got to rely on other people first, haven't we? I mean, are you optimistic? Are you pessimistic? How are you feeling about it?
Yeah, so I've done a few things this week, actually, and I don't think Liverpool will get top four. I think there'll be one win short of top four, and I have thought that for a while. And I really annoyed me the Newcastle and Leeds games in close proximity. So many things have annoyed me about this season with Liverpool, but those two in particular, because it was like they were needless points dropped. You know, it's one thing, okay, yeah, you know, Chelsea come to Anfield and win, or you don't beat City, or you Old Trafford, you don't get the 3 points at Old Trafford. But those games were there, and Liverpool weren't really. I don't think they gave them away. Liverpool, you know, it wasn't a case of, you know what, that was a in the cold light today, it was a decent point. It wasn't. They were games that Liverpool should have won, and that put all the pressure on these last four games. And Liverpool's form isn't actually that bad. Six games in the league unbeaten. Second, I think only, is it only United who've got a better unbeaten record, is it, at the moment in the league in the last six, or more points? So I do think they'll come up short. I do think if they win the next four, that'll be enough, because I don't think Leicester will win both of their remaining games. And I think Liverpool, if they win the four, I think they sneak in on goal difference ahead of Leicester. But I just, unfortunately, I don't back Liverpool to win the four. And even if they win at Old Trafford, I'm not willing to back that they'll get six out of Burnley and West Brom, because of just the way they're playing and the sort of just the little gaps that there are in the side. And it's a shame, because, you know, if you'd have said to me last season Liverpool need to win 24 in a row to get into the Champions League, I'd have said, yeah, that team's capable of doing it. And it's changed so much in 12 months. So, yeah, I think they'll just come up short and finish fifth, personally. I think they'll maybe take 9 points from these last four games, or 10 points from these last four games, and it won't quite be enough.
Yeah, and I think that's one of the things, isn't it, about this season, where a lot of fans have probably accepted by now that top four has gone. I mean, like I said, probably after the Newcastle game in the Leeds, we thought, that's it, it's too much to do. There's so little games left. Do you think it's going to have a massive detriment in terms of the plans? Because I know, you know, getting into Champions League every year was so important. We went so long without Champions League football, and we sort of teetered, and then we got into it and fell straight back out of it again under Brendan Rodgers. And I think the way Klopp got us into it, two Champions League finals, we win one, you know, we're unlucky to go out of it last season. The way we did. Do you think it's going to be a massive detriment in terms of what Liverpool would do in the summer in terms of business plans and going forward?
I don't think it's going to be as big as the narrative suggests, that it's like, you know, well, that's it. You know, we're going to have to sign players from the Championship, that kind of thing. I don't think it's going to be that. I think what it does is it does cast that shadow over the club in terms of, you know, all of a sudden you are chasing again, aren't you? And Liverpool, you know, one of the things that I noticed with Liverpool fans in particular was, and I put it down to sort of, you know, sometimes being a bit spoiled, you know, when I heard it was, yeah, we don't want to just win one league. You know, we don't want to just, one win in 30 years. We want the next one. And the players were taught like that. But I think what they mean really is we want to be in that sphere permanently, and we want to, you know, and you don't want to sort of drop out after two seasons or three seasons, and all of a sudden it's like, right, the question at the start of the season is not Liverpool, can they win the league? It's, can Liverpool get back into the top four? And all of a sudden you become that. Are we on the edge of the top four? Are we striving for that? And the one reason I think that probably doesn't have that big an effect this time around with Liverpool is because of the players that they tend to recruit. And Thiago's an outlier in that regard. But they don't sign players from clubs that you think, well, you know, why would I leave them to go to Liverpool? You know, they're signing from Wolves, they're signing from Southampton, and even Roma, you know, with Alisson, and Monaco with Fabinho. They're signing from clubs where, whether they're in the Champions League or not, it's a step up to Liverpool. So I think that model and that recruitment sort of process that they've been going through, I think they'll stick to that anyway, whether they were in the Champions League or not. They'll look to that type of player. They do pay mega wages when they get players through the door, but I don't think Liverpool sort of, you know, Liverpool aren't going to win, going to throw the kitchen sink at wages anyway. So I think they'll live the way they've lived pretty much for the last few years. But I think the bigger question just surrounds the mood of the club, maybe, and the fact that, you know, let's face it, come September, when, fingers crossed, 25,000-30,000 maybe inside Anfield, when you get to that Wednesday, and it's not Liverpool playing, it's Leicester playing Barcelona in front of the full house, that's when you start to think, oh, that's, you know, that should be us. But, you know, never say never. But I still think Liverpool have got more than enough in the dressing room and probably in the locker for the summer to really have a good go next season. I just have this horrible feeling they are going to be in the Europa League.
Ah, sod it. I want number four in the Europa League. Fuck it. I want another one. Whatever.
Yeah,
love it.
Like Neil said, we've got that business model, but we've also got like Van Dijk and Gomez and Henderson and Matip coming back. Just huge, huge players. Like I think Klopp said, you lost our leg and then we lost our spine. I think couldn't sum it up any better. We literally lost the biggest players we could have that had the most impact on the field and off the field.
Well, look at last Saturday. So they had without the first three centre backs, the two centre backs they signed in the January to replace the centre backs, the centre midfielder who'd been playing centre back and wears the captain's armband and the vice captain, and the third most expensive sign in the club's history were all out injured, and Shaqiri as well. But you know, it is absurd, isn't it, when you sort of put it like that. And they hadn't played the game for 2 weeks, and four of those had somehow managed to add themselves to the list.
Yeah, I think Klopp said, didn't he? There's been a few bumps and bruises in training, and then we got the team. Now you didn't express that strongly enough, Jürgen.
No, that MMA octagon they've put in a Kirby is getting.
yeah. Well, I've seen, actually, speaking of Kirby, I've saw a few like conspiracy theorists flying around saying it's the new turf at Kirby that's causing these injuries. I think spend a bit too much time like just locked in a room, those type of people, I think.
Yeah, there'll be a podcast that soon enough, I think. A 12-part podcast on the turf conspiracy.
Right, boys, that was boss. Nice one for jumping on, Neil. But before we go, just like quick score predictions for tomorrow.
Yeah, I mean, I'm not gonna play to the gallery, I'm gonna have to be honest, but I think 1-1 was the one that sort of sticks out. I think it'd probably be that and that little bit of a lorry load of regrets going down the M62. So I think 1-1.
Yeah, I'm going for a score draw as well, mate.
I'm going 4-0 now. I'm messing. Yeah, 1-1. Or just hoping we just fucking sneak one and just keep silently taking over and try and sneak our way in there, but it's very unlikely, isn't it? But yeah, nice one, fellas. We'll leave it there. Nice one to Jay. Nice one to Neil for jumping on, making his debut. We'll be back tomorrow for the team news show at 7:15, and then straight after for the match review to hopefully celebrate what will be the end of the recent Old Trafford hoodoo. And yeah, we'll see you all in a bit.
Cheers.
Podcast Network.